We got people with Zoom, Facebook Live, or later listening, either through the audio that's uploaded to the church or the video that's on Facebook. I have to tell you, the reason I may seem a little confused is right before we started the Lord's Supper, my computer completely shut down in here and hummed in a big blue screen talking about I didn't have enough bandwidth and I was just panicking in here, so I had to turn off my computer by the power button and just held it down, and then it came back up, and it took, I don't know, almost 7 years for it to reboot. At least that's what it seemed like. So if that happens again in here, Randy, move out. I'm coming in there to finish the sermon. So anyway, well, I'm glad to be back with you this morning. Our lesson this morning speaks, I think, to a circumstance that many of us feel that we're in right now, and that's that we are in the wilderness. We are experience exile and separation. There have been many people in the Bible who've had similar experiences, and there are lessons that we can learn from these. I want to briefly, in the course of the lesson this morning, notice a few of those. They kind of read like a who's who of Bible characters. And I want us to notice what happened to them in that experience of being in the wilderness. Then I want to talk about what generally occurs that I can also see from Scripture, what happens when we're experiencing these kinds of situations, what we'll face, and the benefits, hopefully, that we can get. I want the lesson to be encouraging. I want it to be challenging. And as a lot of people have been saying, it's certainly not original with me. These are unique times, and we need to make the most of it. So let's begin with that word, wilderness. The Greek word is eremos, and I don't know why I pronounce Greek words like I'm speaking Spanish. I don't know, because Spanish is the language, other language that I kind of speak, but it's spelled E-R-E-M-O-S, eremos. And sometimes we find ourselves driven to the wilderness. You'll remember in Matthew, the 4th chapter in verse 1, that the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted there. Sometimes it's a place that we actually seek. Again, this time in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, where it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." That word for lonely places is exactly the Greek word we're looking at here this morning, eremos. And so this time of isolation is a time of wilderness for us. And I will tell you that for some, it's kind of par for the course. It's maybe even the pattern of your life is to be separate and to be alone. Maybe you're a private person. Maybe you are have an introverted kind of personality. And some of you that I've talked to have told me, well, it's not all that much different for you than what's usual, and doing fine. In fact, we kind of live in an extrovert biased world, and so you're kind of enjoying the fact that all of us extroverts are now having to live like you live and to feel it from the other side. But for some of us, like me, who are extroverted, it's a real challenge because we want to be around people. We want to spend time with others. So while we are apart, we are, in fact, sharing this experience. And again, I want to try to make it as positive as we can for everyone. Depending on the translation you have, this word eremos is translated lonely place, like we just saw in the NIV for Luke 5. Oftentimes it's translated desert or wilderness, solitary place, a quiet place, a secluded. And even those words have a little different connotation to us. When I think of desert or I think of wilderness, I almost think of things that are exactly the opposite as far as physical features are concerned. But whether our eremos is literal or whether it's figurative, it's still real. It's still real to us as we're living it. In the text that Roger read a few moments ago in Psalm 78, there's one verse that I want to focus on this morning as kind of the basis of our lesson, and that is verse 19, and I'll read that in just a moment. But that historic part of the history of Psalm 78 comes from Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5, where the people were grumbling against God, and it says they spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert, to die in the Eremos? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." In the Septuagint version, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, that word there, desert, as well as in Psalm 78 and verse 19, is that Greek word Eremos. And the verse I want us to look at there in verse 19 is, "They spoke against God, saying, can God really spread a table in the wilderness?" And because, again, we are in some sense in a wilderness, we're in a lonely place, even as far as feeling exiled, that question becomes significant to us. And that's the question I want to talk about this morning, attempt to discuss and answer. Here we are in this situation, this wilderness of ours. Can God bless us here? Is there something that God can give us here? So I want to begin by looking at some Bible examples of others who were in the Eremos, in that wilderness. And again, whether it's real or figurative, it was real to them. And so first one I want to look at is Abraham. And Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." So he's being told to separate himself, to exile himself from his country, from his people, from his family, and go to a place that's separate and isolated from them. And what did God do for him there? He blessed him greatly. He increased amazingly in property, but he also increased in his relationship with God. Great promises of blessings were given to him. And the greatest blessing of all there was that he would be the father of the faithful and bring through his seed, the Messiah, this great blessing of salvation, of turning us from our iniquities, according to Peter in Acts 3. The next person is Joseph in Genesis 37 and through verse 50, or chapter 50. I'm not going to read all of those for you. You know that he was forced to be exiled from his family. His brothers sold him into slavery. A wilderness of Egypt where he knew no one. Yet God was with him. And in that process of being there, saved his family from death, from starvation, and from annihilation, in fact. And through him, again, because of that, founded this great nation that God had promised that he would make Abraham the father of. We go over to the book of Exodus, and we see Moses. And I can see three different occasions in Moses' life when he went through this Eremos, when he was forced to go into this time of wilderness in his life. There was an enforced exile when he was separated from his family at birth and taken into Pharaoh's household. And again, he was separated from his family and people when he went into Midian. As all of you know here at Bremerton, all of those periods of time are 40 years of exile. And then, of course, he was in exile with the Israelites in the wilderness wanderings for another 40 years. Listen, during all of that time in Moses' life, he is preparing him and getting him prepared for the work that God had for him to do. And while he was in Egypt and living in Pharaoh's household, he's learning all the wisdom of Egypt. He learns the language. He knows the court protocol. So that when God brings him back, he's going to be able to communicate with Pharaoh. While separated in the wilderness of Midian, he learned about how to live in a place like that. And then, of course, in the wilderness, his responsibility was to lead the people and prepare them for the promised land, which he did right at the end when he gave them the law again. So for Moses, it was a time of testing. It was a time of growth. It was a time of learning, but it was also a time of blessing as he became a savior and a leader and a deliverer and a lawgiver. The last one I want to look at is the Apostle John. And that's, of course, way back in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John said, "I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." Patmos is a tiny island, probably, or perhaps I should say, a penal colony. It's a volcanic island, largely treeless. I think it's about 7.5 miles long, and at its very widest point, it's 6 miles wide. He's not there by choice. He's put there, as he said here, because of his faith in service to the Lord. He's separated from his friends, and yet in this place of exile and wilderness for him, God gave him this great revelation of the victory of Jesus Christ over his enemies and judgment on them. As I was preparing this lesson, I kind of remembered the Hebrew writer who said, as he's gone through all of the characters in Hebrews 11, he said, "What more should I say? You know, I've got other people that I could mention. There's David fleeing in the wilderness from Saul, and you think about all the wonderful psalms that he wrote during that time. Elijah fleeing from Jezebel in the wilderness, and the work that God still had him to accomplish." And we need to realize that this wilderness time is not a place to try to escape from God. Psalm 139 and verse 7 says that's futile to do that. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Rather, wilderness is a place where our relationship with God will ultimately be made better. So what can we expect? What can we expect to encounter when we are in the Eremos? Well, the first thing I think that we need to bring up is evil. That's certainly what Jesus found in Luke 4 and Matthew 4. He encountered Satan, who tempted him there. And you and I may as well when we're in the wilderness, because listen, our minds are rarely quiet. You can't stop thinking. And because of that, in times like this, it's easy for us to conjure up all kinds of thoughts and depressions and things that we don't want to be thinking about, things that will spoil and take away from the joy that we have in Christ. And so in 2 Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I noticed again, this is a passage we have turned to several times during this time of separation, and it's because it's so apropos. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, or excuse me, let me find my passage here. 3 through 5. That is not correct. I looked at it this morning, though, so I think it is 2 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm still a little flustered there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start at verse 3. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So this is an opportunity for us to allow the weapon that we have, which is God's word, which is truth, and make captive those thoughts that are against him, opposed to him, not supportive of him, and in fact do what Paul said in Philippians, the second chapter in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. When you look at the temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4 or Luke 4, you can see how he handled evil and how he faced it. And he faced it with God's word. And we can have the confidence to do exactly the same. Another thing that we'll encounter in our wilderness are emotional extremes. And again, I think the best example of that is Jesus, this time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm going to be looking at Matthew chapter 26 in just a moment. Jesus has the disciples with him. He's left off a number of them. He's taken three a little further with him. But he has separated himself from them as well. And he's gone to this solitary place, this lonely place where he's by himself. And in Matthew 26, starting at verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And so you see the extreme sorrow, the negative emotion that he was experiencing. But when he gets to the end of that prayer, it's a "your will, not mine." And if you go on now and look at verse 46, he says, "Rise up, let us go." He's ready to face whatever is before him. But he needed that Eremos, he needed that wilderness, he needed that solitary time with God in order to achieve that emotional balance. And obviously, comparing to where he was, there's almost a serenity that you see in Jesus from here on out. The third thing that I want us to note is, and the last one, is that we sometimes have the opportunity to experience clarity when we're in our Eremos, in our wilderness time. It's easy for us, and has been, and we've talked about this in previous lessons, it's easy in the hustle and bustle of life and the general busyness that we have in our lives, and the schedules are filled and we're just running around all of the time, to fall under what I heard many years ago called the tyranny of the urgent, and that we are being controlled and manipulated by urgent things that come up, and we become a slave to them, and as a consequence of that, we ignore or we delay or even forget what's important. Just because something is urgent doesn't mean that it's important. And they, and as I was saying, they say, all of a sudden it dawned on me, I don't know who they are when we say, you know, as they say. But they seem to be wise people, so maybe we should listen to them. But they say that the best teacher is loss. And so in the process of losing certain things in our lives and certain blessings that we had before, we may be able to gain clarity about what's important as opposed to what was urgent. These extra things that have been clogging our lives, as it were, are being sloughed off in our Eremos or wilderness experience, and we're gaining greater clarity about what's important, a clearer vision of where we need to be, of what we need to be doing, and of who we are, who we should be. And in that process, we'll see our way clearer to fulfilling our purpose. You see that as well if you go back with me to Mark chapter 1, which is just a few pages over from our last text that we were at. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 35, and I'll read that in just a moment, but in the context of this is Jesus has just had, in chapter 1, he's just had tremendous success. He's doing miracles, he's called his first apostles, He's healing many there, and there in verse 32, all of these people are being brought to him. But verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, off to his eremos, is the word there, where he prayed. So in light of that great success that he had, and listen, it might be tempting, especially if it was you and I in that circumstance, to hang around there and to continue in that success and to enjoy the benefits and fruits of our labors. But Jesus prayed. And if you go on over to verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So when his disciples found him, Jesus' mission, Jesus' purpose, the very reason that he came became crystal clear, and he said, we have to leave this place. We've got a lot of work to do in other places, and that's why I have come. The eremos times in our lives can be dangerous. I think there would be like a real wilderness. And it's certainly not something we would want as a continuous living arrangement. After all, as God said in the very beginning, it's not good to be alone. So you don't want that situation all the time. But in times like this, when we have that kind of a circumstance cast upon us, it can be a time where we're challenged. It can be a time where we grow. It can be a time where we have the opportunity to be blessed. The comforting thing for all of us as God's people in our eremos times is that we're never alone. Jesus said in Matthew, the 28th chapter, in the latter part of verse 20, "And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So let's make the most of this time that we have, and let's face the challenges, and let's seek out God and find out what blessing he has for us. I want to thank all of you for being with us in whatever digital form that takes. We're encouraged by your participation with us, and we hope that this has been a time of encouragement to you as well. And again, as we say every time, if we can be of assistance to you in your walk with the Lord, please let us know. And Randy, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Dan, for that encouraging message this morning from God's Word. We're going to